that's done a number of great projects for us. They have improved our access into our building through the years. They have helped us with many projects at the church. They've done projects. I've hired them to do projects at my house, and they are really, really good at what they do. When I had a project at my house, and there was something that had slope to it. Part of my back porch had a slope to it, and as a result, it was not nearly as user friendly as what I wanted it to be. And I asked Jits Concrete to come out. They took a look at it. Then they brought someone else out to take a look at it. And they figured out a way to get my project done. And they did it absolutely wonderfully. They not only were able to take care of and make it level, you know, which is, you know, was probably the easiest part of the job, but they took care of the aesthetics that went along with that process as well. So I really appreciate their decades of experience. I appreciate their expertise, and I appreciate their great work ethic. If you've got a concrete job that is coming up, they may be a great resource for you. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. They have done jobs that were very large. They've done jobs that were not nearly as large. So it may be a great resource for you, what you are dealing with. There's only one way to find out if they can do it in your time frame or not, and that's to give them a call. I will tell you that a friend of mine hired them to do a job, and this is what he said. Bob, they could do the job, and it was almost as cheap as if I'd done it myself. And that was his take on it. There are a number of people that I know that have used them and used them repeatedly. They are a blessing to us, and we are thankful that they're friends of the Refresh Radio program. So we're going to Romans chapter 13 today. And it says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So, yesterday we were talking about the relational dynamics that we have, and sometimes those dynamics are because of obligation. That is a very low-level relationship. And then there's the relational dynamic of love. I was in a conversation with someone. They were not from America. They were from a different part of the world. And they said, well, the relational dynamic of where we come from is once the parents get a child to the age of 18, they no longer have any obligations to that child. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like throw up your hands and praise the Lord. They feel like they've done their job at that point in time. And I will tell you this, that I have found that being a parent doesn't just mean that I got my child to 18, because the seasons will continually change. The dynamic or the responsibility or the actions that I take are dependent upon the season my child is in, because I love them. And so when they hit 18, I was no longer their disciplinarian. Now I took on a much more advisory role. And our goal was always to set our kids up to succeed, but we never took it as a helicopter parent type role. We said this is what needs to be done, and if they failed, we wanted to make sure that it was in an area where their failure would not be fatal. It would not be cataclysmic. And so that's what we set out to do. So our relationship with our kids wasn't, okay, we got you to 18, we're done. At that point in time, we got you to 18. Now you get to implement the things that we talked about. And I'll tell you, I've got one grandchild that now has their learner's permit. And so that's a different stage. So for some of my kids, they're getting ready to experience, a reality that we've already been through. And so if our relationships are based on love rather than what we are obligated to do, I will tell you, it pays long-term dividends, for the relationship. Now, there are commandments. It talks about the commandments. It says in verse number 9, for the commandments. Here it's specifically talking about the Torah. And, you know, as someone once said, they are the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. Many people think, well, hey, we're under a new covenant. We're under grace. And that means that we are no longer under the commandments. And I would tell you, if that's your mindset, then you need to go back and read the New Testament again, because there are lots of commandments that God has given to us, and it is a mandate. So if you study in the Greek, you will find that there are many words that are used, and the tense in which they are used is not a suggestion. It is something that is ordered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we're supposed to implement those things into our life. And in America especially, we don't like anyone telling us what we've got to do. And I had a conversation with a person one time, because I was taking our Wednesday nights, our midweek service, through some of the mandates that Jesus gave in the Gospels. And when we finished them, that this person came up and said, I'm so thankful that is done, because my personality is such that if you tell me what I've got to do, I'm going to rebel and I'm going to not do what you're telling me that I've got to do. That is a foundational issue that person was telling me. It did not invalidate the mandates of God or the commands of God. And so at some point in time, for all of us, it may be very helpful if we examine the foundation of our life and say, why is it that I don't want to do what God tells me to do? Even if, you know, in fact, the Bible says this, for the person who knows to do good and doesn't do it, for them it is sin. And so if we are not complying with what God is instructing us to do, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, and we don't want to do what he tells us to do, we got to ask ourselves why. And the why will not be because of someone else. The why will be because of something inside of us. So Jesus had a person that said, What must I do to be saved? And he said, well, you know, keep the commandments. And he said, hey, I, I'm I'm rich, I'm young, I'm a ruler, and all these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus said, you know, you're not far from the kingdom. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the young man went away very sad because he had great financial resources. Many people look at that situation and say, well, he didn't want him being rich. That's not it at all. See, you can be a rich saint, and you can be a saint that does not have much finances. You can be a saint that is very poor, and you can also be a sinner that's very poor. So it is not, you know, whether you're going to heaven based on your bank account is not valid. It's really, what are you putting your trust in? And where God is telling us what to do from a position of authority, but it's a position of love as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it's never a question of whether or not God loves you. It's very much, how am I going to respond to what God has told me to do? So God gives us an order. We need to realize the order is coming from a position of love, and not because he's trying to hold out on us, or, you know, that's the lie the enemy's been using since the Garden of Eden. It's always been to undermine and malign the character and the nature of God. God's holding out on you. No, he's not. If he didn't withhold his son, he's not going to withhold any blessing from us, but he prepares us so that anything that comes our way will not be so overbearing that it destroys us in the process. You say, well, there's no way that could happen. I read a news article less than 3 weeks ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. Let's see if I can remember. I would say it was probably three-fourths of the way through July. There was an article about a man who had won the lottery, and his point of view was, I wish I had never bought that ticket. That winning the lottery ruined my life. And so I will tell you, you know, Jesus said, if you will be faithful in little, you will be faithful over much. If you are unfaithful in little, if you get a huge windfall, you're still going to be unfaithful. And so I want to encourage you to elevate your understanding of the relationship of God. Say, even though the word commandment is there, it is not an lack of compassion that is reflected in the mandate. It's a mandate that's given because God does love me. So look at what he says first. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. Okay? So this has physical ramifications. There are also spiritual ramifications. In other words, there are people who are tempted to commit adultery with their spouse. Israel committed spiritual adultery, as did Judah, with upon God. In other words, they were walking in covenant relationship with the one true God, and they abandoned that relationship, and they went and worshiped idols made of gold and wood and, you know, whatever else that they might have had on hand. And God said that's spiritual adultery. There are people who have commit adultery, all sorts of things. Guys, we have to be careful that we don't abandon our family because of how much we love our work. I had an ancestor that absolutely loved working. He didn't love working more than his family, but because of how he was brought up, he was a hard worker. The man knew so much. There's a guy in my church that, you know, whenever I think of, you know, the amount of knowledge that my ancestor had, this is a guy that's right up there with that. There's a guy from my church. He's worked on my cars, and he works on cars that I didn't even remember that I had, and can tell you what size bolt it was required and all that sort of, just absolutely brilliant. But not just brilliant with work stuff, but he's brilliant when it comes to the Word of God. He's brilliant with his life. He is so gifted in so many areas of his life that I count it a blessing just to be able to know him, and an even greater blessing to be able to serve the King alongside of him. My ancestor just really loved working, but there are some people who, and that they love their job more than they love their spouse, more than they love their family. And I will tell you that sooner or later, that abandoned covenant relationship that you had, if you're unfaithful in that area, sooner or later that covenantal relationship will fall apart, because we're not supposed to commit adultery. Adultery is self-serving. It is not loving someone else. So for my wife, I Jesus said, I'm supposed to love her the way that Christ loved the church, loves the church, and gave himself for her. It's a privilege to be able to love my wife. Well, I don't want to discriminate. I don't want to, you know, leave the ladies out, because there may be temptation, and these are just generic. It's not one or the other, but there are parents, men and women, who will put their kids before their spouse, and that can end up being an adulterous situation as well, because if you prioritize them over your spouse, one day those kids are going to grow up, they're going to move out of the house, and then you are going to find that you are just how misaligned that area of your life. Listen, it's not one or the other, but we have to keep things in the proper sequence. If you had a combination lock when you were growing up, even if you remembered the right numbers, but you got them in the wrong sequence, that lock wasn't going to open. So, adultery is not a victimless crime. It's not something, well, as long as they don't find out, I'm going to be okay. No, that's not the reality, because God sees everything and knows everything. So, he gave us the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, because he doesn't want us to experience the pain and the suffering that comes from violating the covenant of love that we said we would honor till death do us part. So I will tell you this, that if you love someone, I mean really, really biblically, generally love them, that at some point in time, that love is going to turn into grief. Not because love deteriorates into grief, but very rarely do people who love one another die at the same time. And because of that great love, one person, for believers, one person is going to be enjoying the presence of Jesus. As I said, when my mother passed away, my dad was the love of her life, but Jesus was the love of her eternity. And when he called, she answered, and she went, you know, dancing into the arms of Jesus and worshiping. I don't feel sorry for her for a minute, but that loss of his spouse of nearly six decades was very, very, the valley of the shadow of death was a very real situation. If you love someone very deeply and they are promoted into the presence of Jesus, that love, that very genuine love, is going to manifest itself as grief to some degree or another. And don't bottle that up. So the commandment of love says that I am not going to violate this relationship of love that we have. So I try and pastor from that way. So I'm not sending out resumes all over the place looking for, you know, the next position or anything like that. I came to Merit Assembly of God because I serve God as my Heavenly Father, but I also recognize that he is my commander in chief. And when he said, this is where I'm going to place you, this is where I'm going to cause you to be established and prosper after you suffered a little while. And even then, when we came, and there were several other ministry places that we had served before, and in each one of those, I said, okay, this is probably where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I, you know, a very naive, very young mindset when it came to that. And in each one of those situations, God closed a door, opened another door. I never went knocking on the doors. Just God has been such a great doorkeeper in my life that I just said, God, you place me where you want me, and I will do the best I can to make the most out of that opportunity, because I want to love you and I want to love the people that you want me to love. And so when God placed us at Merit Assembly of God, I said, okay, none of the other places that we have served have been long standing. They lasted for a few years. This is probably not going to be any different. And so I want to serve to the best of my ability. I want to make the most out of the opportunity. And if God moves us on, I want to leave it in better shape than I found it. And, you know, we've been here for a long time now. And we don't continue to serve because we have to. We continue to serve because we love to. And that love looks different in a lot of situations. So whenever one door of ministry closes here in Brevard County, another door opens, and we go wholehearted into expressing to our community the best we can, hey, God loves you. God wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants you to be faithful. Now, here's the thing. Adultery is a manifestation of unfaithfulness. And I have seen firsthand what, you know, as a pastor, what that looks like. It is painful. It is hurtful. It is traumatic for everybody who is involved. Okay. So, God wants us to be faithful people. And here's a great promise from the Old Testament, it says to the faithful, he shows himself faithful. In the New Testament, it says, if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. It's impossible. He is the faithful God. He is the faithful and true witness. God is faithfulness personified. And if we will embrace life of faithfulness, we will see the faithfulness of God showing up in so many different ways. I want to encourage you today to reject the temptation of unfaithfulness and adultery, that, you know, marital adultery or spiritual adultery. I want you to reject all of that. And I want you to come and say, God, because you love me, because you're faithful, and you realize that there is a reward, there is promotion for faithfulness, God, I don't want to violate your commandment. I want to embrace what you have. You gave me that commandment because you love me. And I want to love you. I want to honor you. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the fact that he will reveal himself to faithful people. Everybody who's listening to my voice, I would say probably 90%+ long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my rest. Jesus loves us. I hope you love him and that we will be a faithful people. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.